Good morning, church. It is wonderful to be with you on this terrific day that God has given. I want to remind us of a few things before we sing. Romans chapter 8. After Paul is talking about all these things that the Spirit of God gives us. In verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. He goes on, for we do not know that we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He talks about in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to his purpose. Thing after thing after thing that the Spirit helps us, that God intercedes for us and does it for us. And then he ends chapter 8 with something very familiar probably to most of you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God expressed his love for us is that he sent it along with Christ who came to earth, who was born of a virgin, who died on a cross, and who rose again to express his love and to give us eternal life. We shall not be separated from the love of Christ. Let's stand and sing about this love that never fails.
Come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world.
From whom all blessings flow. Praise him for the wonders of his love.
Sing that again.
Praise God, praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Praise him, praise him for the wonders of his love.
he gave us his one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never
move the mountains, and I believe
see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountain. And I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountain. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. You've never failed me yet. I never will forget. You've never failed me yet. I never will forget. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son out of your love for us. I don't understand it many times. How in the world could you love us? While we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. But thank you for doing that. Thank you for loving us enough to then give us your word that you speak through and not leave us alone on our own and our own devices. Thank you that we can come before your throne this morning. We love it when we praise you, because that's where the praise should be going. We love you. Thank you for loving us first and loving us most. I lift this up in Jesus' name, and everyone said, you may be seated.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Crosspoint. I am Pastor Matt. I'm the senior pastor here. And whether you're watching or you're here in person, today's a huge day. We have a baby dedication, and this is going to be just a great time. Before I jump into that, let me give you a few announcements. Last weekend was our missions conference, and as a group of churches, we're still giving towards that. So we are trying to raise, between all of us churches, $25,000 that will be spread amongst all the missionaries, so you can still give to that. Go to the church website at yourc3.org/give, and you could just hit the tab that says Missions Fund. That'd be great. We're going to have a baptism service on Easter Sunday, so if you would like to declare your faith through the waters of baptism, you could sign up again on the website or talk to me if you have questions, and would love to have you be part of that. Now through Easter, we got a call from Life Builders, and they have asked us to, they want to do a food drive, and they've asked us for some help. So when you, if you leave the sanctuary, you look to the right, there's a basket that you can bring canned goods now through Easter. And so when you're at the store and you're getting food for your pantry, if you could get some extra food and bring it in and give it to those in need, that would be tremendous. I encourage you to do that. Again, that's going to be all month. And we have welcome cards that are in the pews. You can You can check online or you can do it just to let us know that you're here. That would be great. So today is baby dedication. And for those of you that are new, we have a lot of people that are new. It's like, what is a baby dedication? Why is it different than baby baptism? Well, we dedicate children because in reality, these little ones that we're going to have here, they're very young and they don't know what's going on. But these parents do and these grandparents do. And they are here. In a real sense, they are dedicating not only themselves, but their children to the Lord. And we as a congregation are making a commitment that we will do what we can. We will pray for these kids. We will try to teach them when they're here. We will do everything we can on our part to help them along the way. So this is a glorious time. We're going to have three families this service and three in the next service. The families in the next service, the Leongs are dedicating Emery Leong, and that will be great. The Switechs, my grandbabies are being dedicated the second service, so that'll be a good one. And then the Wozniaks are dedicating Lucille. So it's a glorious time. At this time, I want to invite up to the stage the Dillons, the Emhoffs, and the Sims. And you guys can come on up. You can take your masks off, get a little separated. If you're comfortable, you don't have to take your mask off if you want to. I do want the people to see your face for a hot second. That'd be great, but Can I tell you, I love this. I love this day. I love that God has brought families into this church. And my encouragement to you as families, we live in a crazy, crazy, crazy world. And I dedicated my children on a stage like this some 30 years ago. The world has changed. And so as parents, your job in training your children up and being the example for them is really more important now than it has ever been before. And so we want to encourage you. We want to support you, but just know that you have the most important job in the world right now. I always tell parents, you know, you have one chance to screw your kids up, and, you know, so let's not do that. So normally I hold the kids, but like, COVID, so I can't, but Avery Dillon, and she is born to Will and Casey, and so what we do as a church is we give them little reminders of the time they have. So it is 926 weeks until Avery will turn 18 years old, and so we give them little thing full of beads, and you could take those out once a year, but it's just the reminder of how much time that you have. And then Adeline Rose Emhoff is born to Jacob and Emily. And Adeline has 877 weeks until she turns 18. And then John Jackson Sims, I love that name, by the way. That's a good, strong name. I love that name. To parents, Kelly and Kevin, and these guys are new to the church. Most of you have never seen them before. They've been watching online. But Jackson has 881 weeks until he turns 18. And there's books in there for you to read. But I just want you to know that we as a church are going to make a commitment to you. And I'm going to ask you guys to make a commitment to the Lord. So, and I will make this to the family as well. But do we hear, make a covenant before God that we're going to help these families to grow and to train them up into Jesus and give them date nights and help them along the way as much as we can. If we as a congregation commit to that, let's say we will. All right. And to you as parents, really commit before God that you will raise these kids for Jesus Christ, that you will love each other, that you guys will do everything you can to stay together as a couple and be that example for them. If you will do that, will you say, we will? All right, I'm going to pray for these guys. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that children are from you, and we acknowledge that. Lord, we commit these children into your hands. We pray not only for their health, not only for their mental well-being, but we pray that they would come to know Jesus at a very young age. And so, Lord, we lift up these families to you. We pray that you would strengthen them, that you would give them great encouragement and hope. We pray that as couples, they would love each other. Lord, I pray that they would be right in the center of your will. So we give these families to you. We thank you that you have given them and you have blessed them with children. And we pray your blessing upon not only these children, but these families. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm giving you hugs. Hugs. Hugs.
Mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Would you stand and sing of the goodness of God?
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
God, I love your voice.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me.
Sing that again.
Goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after me.
With my life laid down, I surrender now.
I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing it one more time.
All my life you have been faithful.
Thank you, God, for being faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
see of the goodness of God.
You may be seated.
Can you grab that and move it over there? Set it right there. So if you ever tried to call or text somebody and you have something really big that's going on and you call or you text and you get no answer, isn't that frustrating? I don't know about you, but that's one that kind of drives me nuts. I'm a quick responder. I will respond quickly when things are going on, and if I don't call you back or don't text you back, something's going on. So, and I'll even send out one of those emojis, like, you got to see this one where you kind of, hello, I'm here. Love that one. But it is 10,000 times worse when you have a serious need and you cry out to God and you hear nothing. In Psalm 13:1, it says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? 40 years ago, this year, I gave my life to Jesus. And by God's grace, I have been all in from the moment I gave him my life. I have served him. By God's grace, I haven't wandered. And yet there have been times, a few times in my life, where it's been really hard. And I've just said, Lord, how long? What is going on? And I have walked with hundreds of people over my 25 years in ministry that have had it far worse than I have ever had it. And I have walked with them, and I have seen them go through those hard times. And then there's some of you right now. That is where you're at. You're saying, how long? How long, O Lord, will this go on? So open your Bibles to Psalm 13, because that's where we're going to be at. And here's what we're going to deal with. Here's the reality of what goes on in your hearts. Some of you right now are saying, how long, O Lord, will this physical pain continue? How long, O Lord, will my marriage struggle? How long, O Lord, will my children wander? How long, O Lord, will I be unemployed? I want to work. How long, O Lord, will I be single? How long, O Lord, will this sickness remain? How long, O Lord, will I battle cancer or this disease? How long, O Lord, will I be unjustly attacked or criticized? How long, O Lord, will the unfairness at my work or my home continue? How long, O Lord, will I remain childless? How long, O Lord, will I battle with depression? How long, O Lord, will I be sad with grief? How long, O Lord, must I fight this addiction? How long, O Lord, will I struggle financially? How long, O Lord, will evil seem to win? How long will life be hard? And how long will this battle continue? And it has been said, if you live long enough, you will suffer. For some of you right now, you're not in a how long moment, but there are some of you right now that is exactly where you're at. And I think sometimes I look at my own life and I look at the hard times that I've had, and some of it is because I was believing wrong things. I had the thought that if you give your life to Jesus, you surrender everything to him, everything should be fine. I did. I thought, hey, you know, I'm one of his children. I would treat my kids good. He's going to treat me good. Everything's good. And yet, that's faulty thinking, because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Some have bought into that theology. And at times, like I said, I've been one of them. And so we're going to go through this chapter. And this chapter is real easy to outline. And we're just going to step right through it. Here's point one. David, who's the author here, it's a Psalm of David, David's complaint to the Lord. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day. How long shall my enemy exult over me? You know, I've read that bunch of times. I've read this dozens of times, but I never realized that in the first two verses, there's four how longs. We're just going to kind of step through these, and you can sense, just put yourself in David's life. There is anguish here. There's realness here. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? David felt like God had forgotten him. And we see this over and over in the Psalms and really throughout Scripture. There have been times when the people of God have felt like, hello, have you forgotten me? Now, I just say this. We just had three families dedicate their children. Do you forget your kids too often? You leave them at a store ever? I get true confessions. Back when I started ministry, we lived in Royal Oak. Church was in Farmington Hills. I thought Jane had the kids. She thought I had the kids. We get home. This is before cell phones. We get home, and where are the kids? I thought you had them. You know, Houston, we have a problem. So we had to drive. It was like a 25-minute ride back. We did that once, all right? We were not perfect parents. But Psalm 18:30 says, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. God does not forget his children. He doesn't. Now, don't get me wrong. I know what you're saying. Oh, yeah? Right now, he's forgetting me. I get where you're at. Been there. There have been times where I have fought with God and lost and have said, will you throw me a bone? You know, here I am. I'm serving you. Like, shouldn't I get a little bit of preferential treatment? That's what's going through my sinful head. It's like, come on now. And yet, we're gonna see more of this. The second how long. How long will you hide your face from me? There's a real sense in which I knew God was there, but I did feel like he's hiding his face from me. I mean, after all, I was in ministry. It's like, I know the Bible. Hello. I'm not an atheist here. I understand that God is God, and I understand that he's there. And yet, those feelings, and when you have those feelings, you are not alone. Job, who in Job chapter 1, verse 8, it says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and turns from evil. So here's this guy that God is bragging about. I wish that God would brag about me, but in the text, he's bragging about Job. That's the kind of guy that he was. And in just a few scenes, he has 10 children that are killed. He loses everything. And then he worships the Lord. Naked I came into this world, naked I'm leaving. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then chapter 2, he loses his health. Now, there's a lot of suffering that is in this room. There's a lot of suffering. But I don't think anybody's suffering is as bad as Job's has been. And here's what Job said in Job 23:8. Behold, I go forward, he's not there. Behind me, I do not perceive him. And to the left, he's not working. And to the right, I do not see him. So here is a man that God was bragging about, that feared God and shunned evil. And he knew he was there, but he was hiding himself. Then there's the third how long. David, it goes from kind of like hope to despair. He says, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? That idea of taking counsel in your soul, the NIV says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? See, there's a strange thing that happens. If this is suffering, and this black box, this box here represents suffering, there's a strange thing that happens when you start to suffer. You start dwelling on it. You start thinking about it. And next thing you know, your mind goes everywhere. And it, and a lot of the places it goes, if you're like me, and again, you guys are all probably better than me, but it goes to places that are just not good. The devil begins to play games with your mind. The enemy without and the enemy within start poking at us, and we start to say stuff like, God, don't you care? Don't you love me? Aren't you good? And just like the devil in Genesis tried to trip up Adam and Eve by saying, did God really say? And you start to question the promises. And in your mind, you go to a bad place. And for those of you that have never experienced that, I'm just telling you, someday that could very well happen. The spiritual warfare that every believer is involved in is real, and the devil and the evil one would promote lies, and we have to use the reality of God's word to point out the truth of the situation. Then there's a fourth, how long? How long shall my enemy exalt over me? There's a sense which it's like, why is it that the bad team seems to win, and here I am trying to serve you, and seems like I'm losing, and it's kind of like, how long? How long is this going to go on? And then David turns from his complaint to a prayer, the prayer that David gives to the Lord. He says, consider me and answer me. That Hebrew word, consider me, is the idea of look at me. Look at me. Back in the day when, before I went into ministry, I was working at Xerox, going to seminary, and I was working midnights, which was brutal. So I would work at like, I would work from 10 at night till 7 in the morning and then go to class and come back at 12. And then try to sleep, and I had two little kids, and Jane would send the kids in to wake me up at like 6 at night to have spaghetti. It's not good. Not good when you wake up and have spaghetti. But the kids would come in, and they would jump on me and say, wake up, Daddy, and they would try to hold my eyes open. And it's like they're saying, look at me, wake up. And he's saying, consider me, look at me, answer me. And then he goes on to say, answer me, O Lord, my God, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. David is basically praying, Lord, don't let the enemy win. Don't let the enemy take me out. Lord, he's crying out for help. Can I raise a hand? Has anyone ever done that, or am I the only one? Okay, there's a few that are out there. And you know, for those of you that haven't had to, I'm happy for you. But don't worry, someday it'll probably happen. Then there's the last part of this psalm. David preaches the truth to himself. This is really amazing, and which, by the way, I am going to spend a lot of time in 2 weeks developing this point. But I want to just lay this out right now. David preaches the truth to himself. In verse 5 and 6, he says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Here's what's amazing. What changed? What changed when he was starting out in verse 1 saying, how long? And here we are in verse 5 and 6. But he's saying, but I will trust in your steadfast love. You know what changed? Only one thing, where his eyes were. Because I'm telling you right now, put your eyes on your trouble. This little box. If your trouble's in here, just look at it all day. And then you carry it around and you say, I got a trouble. Look at my trouble. And what do we do when we have trouble? If we get consumed by it. We think about it. You can't sleep. You wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it, worrying about it. Everyone you talk to, every conversation you have is dominated by your trouble. It's utterly dominated by it. I have talked to dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people whose life is hard and they're going through difficult things. And I'm not being critical, as we all do it, but it is natural to dwell on this. And then you put along with that, get with some negative Eeyore people, and then you start sharing some more negativity. It's not a good place to be. But there's an amazing thing when you get your eyes off of your troubles and then you put your eyes on the God of the universe. That does change everything. And basically, that's what he's doing. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Because it comes to the place where we got to say, okay, God, you're God. I always say, when troubles hit, and they do, it's kind of like you're jumping out of a plane. And there is terminal velocity as you are moving down to the ground. And sooner or later, you need to pull the ripcord and say, poof, okay, let me get a view of what's going on. And when you start to see God for who he is, who's God? He's the creator of this world. He's the one that made you. He's the one that knows all things. He does know what you're going through. He is the one that works all things together for good. He has numbered your days. These children that you have dedicated, they're from the Lord. They are. He has numbered their days. When we see the bigness of God, that he truly is God over everything, that he is good, that he is loving, that he is compassionate, that he is merciful. And when we get a big view of that, even though we don't like what we're going through, we say, Lord, I will trust you. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not in my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge you, and you'll direct my paths. I will take refuge in you. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. In a little while, we're going to partake of the Lord's table, communion. And it's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us, that he has rescued us from the penalty of sin, that we all deserve judgment, but God in his mercy so loved the world that he gave his only son. And what did Jesus do for you and I? He went to the cross and he bore the wrath that our sins, the punishment that our sins deserve on the cross. We're going to celebrate that on Good Friday, his death, and then we're going to celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And when you trust him by faith in Christ alone, he forgives you of your sins. It has nothing to do with a church or a denomination. It has everything to do with Jesus. He died for you, and he's removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. So I can sit here today and say, I know I'm going to heaven someday. And it's not because I'm a great guy. I am a sinner that Jesus has saved. I'm the beggar who has reached out and said, Lord, forgive me. And he has. And if he never answers another prayer for me in reality, it's going to be okay, because the biggest prayer I've ever had is, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And he has. And now we can trust in him. We can trust in his goodness. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. The reality is that God is God, and he does have our lives. He has our lives. Whether by life or by death, the difficulty that you are in, you will make it through. You will. I am with people all the time who are dying in some cases, or are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I shared this with the prayer group on Wednesday. I took communion to Mark and Walt Tobler. And I mention this all the time because my heart breaks every time I go see him. Breaks. Mark has MS, and he's been laying in a bed for now 10 years. And his is a bad MS. And he lays there, and he's got body sores, and they try to care for him. And I, you know, and his dad's there with him. His mind's gone, just gone. And my heart breaks. And I'll even say for them, how long, oh Lord? It's going to be, what a glorious day for them. The Bible says this light and momentary trouble is achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We do have to remember that the troubles we go through are temporary. Let me take you back 31 years ago. Jean and I, she had some health difficulties, and now we, trying to have kids, can't have them. We go through the whole infertility thing. And for those of you that have gone through it, you know it's no fun. We were at church, and there's some people, I'm telling you, they could look at their wife across the room and she's pregnant. Not us. That just didn't work that way. And I remember taking my wife to church on Mother's Day, and people would come up, and good people, but they'd say, so when are you going to start a family? She starts crying. That goes on and on. So we go through the whole infertility stuff, have a surgery, all that other stuff, and the doctor finally says, listen, you guys can't have kids. And this is back, you know, late 80s, so it's like, they're just laying it out. I was working at Xerox at the time, and so we said, okay, we're going to adopt. We got an adoption agency that was in East Lansing called Christian Cradle. And back then, and I think they still do it now, but there's a thing called open adoption. We put our little pictures in a portfolio. The birth moms would come into the agency. They would read it, and then they would pick. And I had just started seminary, and the lady at the adoption agency was real encouraging. She said, yeah, you're probably not going to get picked because you're a pastor, and they really want to give their kids to people who have money, you know, so, you know, doctors and lawyers and, you know, engineers. And so we're like, okay, but the Lord's got us. We're good with this. So lo and behold, we got picked. It was a Thursday, May 17th, 1990. Our birth mom went into labor. And I'm down in Leesburg, Virginia. They had a training center back then. And my wife texts me. For those of you that are young, the texting is a little box. You have a little thing on your hip, and it would go beep, 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 and you would pull it out, and there would be a number there. And the code was, if it's 911, I'm to call immediately. So I called Jane, and she says, she's in labor. And so I told the guy, I'm peacing out. I got to go, you know, I got to go get this baby. I drive from Leesburg, Virginia to the Detroit area in record speed. Broke the law. True confession. I'm just telling you right now. Sped all the way home. Just doing a million miles an hour. On May 18th, 1990, Joshua Jordan was born in Lansing, Michigan. We went to the hospital. We held him. It was glorious. All systems are go. We called our family. We're going to pick him up in the morning. And then in the morning, we get a phone call. And the phone call said that the birth mom's changed her mind. And the grandparents have come in, and they're going to keep the child. And we leave Lansing brokenhearted, empty-handed. And for those of you that, you know, you just say like, oh, no big deal. But it's kind of like having, for those that are adopting, it's kind of like having a stillborn child. And it was not easy. I was raised in a home where I'm the youngest of five boys. My mom was in World War II. She's tough as nails. And she would always say to me, don't cry. Boys, don't cry. And I think part of it is she didn't want to see us cry because she didn't want to see our hurt. But I call her, and I'm talking to her. And it's one of those times I'm crying like a little girl, and I couldn't stop. And I take Jane home. It was on a Friday. We got the news. Saturday, take her home. Sunday, I make the long drive back to Leesburg, Virginia. And it's, this time I go slow. It's a 9-hour trip. And normally, I would listen to sermons, but I was kind of not in the mood, to be quite honest. And there was a tape in there from 1984. There was a song by Twyla Paris that I listened to probably 30 times in my ride there. And I'm just going to read the words for you a little bit. It says, "Sometimes my little heart can't understand what's in your will, what's in your plan. So many times I'm tempted to ask you why. But I can never forget it for long. Lord, what you do could not be wrong. So I believe you, even when I must cry." Then the goes on to say, "Do I trust you, Lord? Does the river flow? Do I trust you, Lord? Does the north wind blow?" Let me ask you a question. Does the north wind blow? That answer is yes. Thursday, it was blowing 14 miles an hour, and that's why it was so cold. He goes on to say, "You can see my heart, you can read my mind, and you got to know I would rather die than to lose my faith in the one I love. Do I trust you, Lord? Do I trust you?" And then the second stanza, I think they call it, "I know the answers, I've given them all. But suddenly now I feel so small, shaken down to the cavity in my soul. I know the doctrine and theology, but right now they don't mean much to me." Now I need to stop there. Theology meant everything to me. Doctrine meant everything to me. I was going to seminary. "But you can know it in your head." But I love the last line. It says, "This time there's only one thing I got to know. There's only one thing I got to know. Do I trust you, Lord? Does the robin sing? Do I trust you, Lord? Does it rain in spring? You can see my heart. You can read my mind. And you got to know I would rather die than to lose my faith in the one I love. Do I trust you, Lord? Do I trust you?" And then the song ends with a affirmation chorus. And it says this, "I will trust you, Lord, when I don't know why. I will trust you, Lord, till the day I die. I will trust you, Lord, when I'm blind with pain. You were God before, and you never change." I love that phrase. Because there are sometimes you are blind with pain. You were God before, and you never change. Then he goes on to say, she goes on to say, "I will trust you, I will trust you, I will trust you, Lord, I will trust you." Today, some of you are at that place, and you are hanging on. You're white-knuckling it. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know. You're in the how long. And I would beg you to hold on to the Lord. I would beg you to trust him when you're blind with pain, because he was God before and he will never change. Someone said this, never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. I don't know what God's doing. Can I tell you that? I don't know what God's doing in your life. Just don't. But I do know this. He's working in ways that we don't know. He is working all things together for good for those that love God who are called according to his purpose. This is a light and momentary trouble that is achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs everything. So we need to fix our eyes on him and the things that are, not that are seen, but the things that are unseen. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. Some of you are, right now, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But the scripture says we're to fear no evil. I have been praying for you because I know. I mean, I know you people. And I know right now some of you are going through difficult times. If you're one of those people who say, You know, I want, before Trisha's going to come out and sing this song, I want to pray for you. So if you're one of those people that you're in that place right now, if you'd be so kind, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone out here who's in a rough spot? Okay. Oh, wow, you guys are, you're all that good. Maybe I'm the only one that has troubles. That's a good thing. You know, some of you are liars, and that's okay. Because you don't want any, you know what you're saying to me? None ya business. I know you're saying that to me, but guess what? I want to pray for you anyways, because I know you got to hold on to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, I pray for these people. Lord, you know our hearts. You know every situation that we are in. You are the one that knows how many people are struggling with all those things that I talked about earlier. Everything from health to family to criticism to just the evil winning. Lord, I pray that they would trust you when they're blind with pain, when it is so in their face that life is so hard. Lord, I pray that you would bring people around their lives that would help them to look to you. And Lord, I pray that they would trust you. Lord, you are a good God and you are working in ways that we don't know. And as people wait, Lord, help them to turn their eyes. Lord, may you give them a glimpse of yourself even in this moment that they're in, that they would find hope and help in you. Lord, we know that this is all a light and momentary trouble, but I pray that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As Trisha comes and sings, I'm praying that you use this as a time to just cry out to the Lord and his mercy.
Sometimes my little heart can't understand what's in your will, what's in your plan. So many times I'm tempted to ask you why. But I can never forget it for long. Lord, what you do trust you, Lord.
Thank you, Tricia. We're going to partake of the Lord's table. And if you're here and you're a visitor, this is the time when we remember what Jesus has done. And so this is the table. This is the time for those who have trusted him. If you're here and you understand that and you want to remember him, doesn't matter what church you're from, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the scripture gives a warning, if you're not living with kind of pushing him away and not spitting in his face, then you have something to partake. Let me encourage you right now to open up the elements before I pray for these. Try not to spill it all over yourself. And someone might next to you might need a little help. Let's pray for the bread which represents the Lord's body. Lord, as we hold this wafer in our hand, we are reminded of all that Jesus went through on the cross for us, that he was the one that took the punishment that we deserved. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was ridiculed. He was nailed to the cross, and he did that for me. And so we remember, and when your word says to do this in remembrance of me, we do remember. And we thank you for what you have done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the bread. Afterwards, he took the cup, which represents the Lord's blood. And let's pray for that. Lord, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Lord, we thank you that Jesus was the spotless Lamb who takes away the sins of the whole world. And it is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone that we have forgiveness of our sins. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we do thank you that you, Lord, even in, for those that are in this trial, Lord, you have our lives. And you will work these things together for good for those that love you who are called according to your purpose. And so we thank you that you are God and you are working. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture says, whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand and let's sing together.
Seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, I believe I'll see you do it again. I see you do it. do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
Here's what you're going to find about when you go through your trials in life. You don't like them. You don't want them. But when you go through them and you look back when you're on the other side of the valley, it will be in those times that you have grown the most. It will be in those times that God has worked the most in people around you. And so just hold on. I do encourage people, get around people who are going to help you put your eyes on the good things. Careful of being with the Eeyores of the world that will get you down. And so I'm going to pray for you. A little reminder, we do what's called the Deacon Fellowship Offering that we can give it online, but there'll be plates back there. This is to help those that have needs in our church. And because of your generosity, we have literally given out thousands and thousands of dollars of people in this church that need help. And so thank you. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that you've given us these children to dedicate and commit to you. Thank you that even in our biggest trials, you will work. Thank you that there's going to come a day when there's going to be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Lord, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.